Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, thank you DJ Q for bringing us back from the break in such style. He is absolutely right. I am Jay Flummer, and you are listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Place brought to you by JB's Best. It's the boldest, the spiciest, the fresh hot sauce out there on the market, and it's made by a golf writer, John Furwa. If it says JB's, it's the best. It's on every table in the Deep South, and it should be on yours, too. All right, well, thank you so much to the first guest on our show, Brian Keogh of the Irish Sun and of the Irish Golf Desk, talking about Sergio Garcia's Masters victory and a little bit more about the great performances by several of the European Tour players. And now we move to the second segment of the show. We've got a wonderful special guest coming up who can opine on both the tour and on golf course designs. He's been doing a lot of great work all around the country right now, particularly in Texas. He's a former All-American junior, and he's out of the great state of Oklahoma. Please give a warm Jay's Place welcome to Tripp Davis. Tripp, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are things in Oklahoma?
Well, I'm not spending a whole lot of time there right now. Spring is our grassing season, most places, and then, oddly enough, we've been doing a little bit of work up in New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey, which we don't normally do in the spring. Most of the work we usually do up in the Northeast is in the fall. But we had a couple of projects we're doing up there that wanted to get some spring work in, and luckily the weather cooperated. But I'm in San Antonio today. We're redoing an old golf course here that Tillinghast designed back in the 20s called Oak Hills. They used to play Texas Open here, and it's a neat old place.
You know, Texas has got so many great golden age golf courses, and you're working or have worked on a number of them, not just the one in San Antonio, but you've worked at Brook Hollow and at Northwood. So why don't you tell us a little bit about each of those projects?
Well, Brook Hollow is another one of the courses that Tillinghast did in Texas. He was fairly active here. Brook Hollow and Oak Hills are kind of considered his two best, and so I've been fortunate to work here. Ben Crenshaw was down here he gave a little talk at Oak Hills that's about a year ago, and you know, someone asked him, well, name three courses. If you had three courses to play the day you died, which would they be? And he said Augusta National, obviously, Oak Hills and San Antonio and Brook Hollow and Dallas. And
spoken like a true Texan.
Yeah. But Brook Hollow it's just a special place. It's a very private club. But the golf course that Tillinghast did there has really evolved over time. And Ben and Bill, his partner, Bill Coore, actually had done some renovation work there, restoration work there in 1991. And one of the first projects they did of that type. And they don't do so much of that anymore. And so when they needed to go back in and renovate, bunkers was the primary concern there, was to go back in and renovate as much as anything. Because the bunkers will last about 10 years. And you've got to go in and change the sand out, change the drainage, change the bunker liners these days. And So it was time to do that. And so when they asked us to do it, they said, well, what would you do differently than what's here? And I actually called Ben and he said, you know, I would have moved this bunker here. I'd have moved this bunker there. They just wouldn't let us. And the audience we had at Brook Hollow at that point was willing to let us do whatever we wanted. And so we did a lot of restoration work, putting bunkers back where they used to be and or moving them to where they were in play in the way that Tillinghast had intended. You can put bunkers back and restore them exactly where they were in 1920, but if it doesn't affect the hole the way that a Tillinghast or a Seth Ring, the old guys, intended it to, then you haven't really restored the design intent. And that's more important than restoring the golf course back to exactly the way it was. It's to restore the intent, and then also partly style, because those guys had a great sense of style, and And restoring that helps golfers to draw a greater appreciation for, you know, what the golf courses looked like back then, and that sense of style that they did have.
Now, one of the big questions that I always have about Tillinghast is he's got one of the broadest palettes of any architect, especially of the Golden Age. Yes, there are a few, if you want to call them templates, if you want to call them arrows in the quiver, if you want to call them favorite design features, he has things like Great Hazards, for example. What are the hallmarks of your usual Tillinghast course, and what of those will you find at Procala?
Well, you're right. I mean, I call it broad creative range, and Tillinghast was the best at that among his peers, without question. You know, he had a variety of different bunker styles, and the way that he built greens was also very indicative of the site and or the type of player that he was designing for. And, you know, Brook Hollow was really never intended to host a U.S. Open, or it was meant to be a nice members club. Some of the membership there, or the founding members, were actually members at Pine Valley, and they wanted it to be like a Pine Valley of Texas, but not as difficult. And so it's still a challenging golf course, and the greens there have kind of morphed over time a little bit as well. But what you find at Brook Hollow with Tillinghast, really more about as much with style as it was with the location of features, the way a bunker would create an angle into a green, the location of the greens. He took a really good site and kind of just used it. He didn't move any dirt to speak of. And so at Brook Hollow, one of the things he did a great job with there, as much as anything, was to use the lay of the land. And
what is the lay of the land at Brook Hollow? What is the terrain like?
It's a gently rolling terrain. When Tillinghast was there, there really weren't very many trees at all. It's a very sandy site, which is unusual for Texas, or at least Dallas. And so what he did that was so good is he would locate greens, tees, as much as anything. Those were his two primary features as far as location went. And he would put them in places where he didn't really have to move much dirt, and the holes just flowed naturally. And it is a golf course that flows exceptionally well over the land. That's one of the reasons Ben Crenshaw likes it so well, is because of that.
Yeah, Tillinghast was phenomenal at having a broad palette of bunker designs. And now here in the Northeast, many of his courses were built on the big limestone rock outcroppings, and so you get pushed up greens. Do you have pushed up greens at Brook Hollow?
A little bit. And, you know, one of the things that he did, I think, so well was to build greens that were really light on the ground as well. I mean, he did... Brook Hollow is more predominated with little pushed-up greens, but he was excellent at building a green that just really was an extension of the fairway. We worked at a club up in the northeast of the area, Spring Lake in New Jersey, that he did, where the greens predominantly lay on the ground. And so he did that in a few places just really well at Brook Hollow where it fit. There's the third hole and the 13th hole are holes that the greens are pretty close together, actually, and they're on the downside of a hill slope. And so there really wasn't room to elevate the greens, and it would have looked awkward. And so those two greens run into, the fairway just runs into the green. They're not, you know, pushed up. But the rest of the greens there, for the most part, he did kind of elevate. And the 14th green there, as you come back around and go back up the hill after playing down 13, 14 is a little popped up green that sits just on a ridge line, one of the prettiest green settings you'd ever see. And so he was, not only was he varied, he was varied within the same golf course as well.
Now, before we go to break, one last question, and that is, tell us about Northwood, which was the home of the 1952 U.S. Open and Julius Boros' first of two victories.
Well, Northwood was designed by a guy named William Diddle, who was a fairly unknown architect of the time, but was a genius. And I also have worked on Wichita Country Club, which he had done. And so it's a golf course I could talk for days about.
All right, well, we'll get a chance to talk to a few more minutes at least. But right now we're going to take a short break. I'm Jay Palama. You're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.